Welcome to Ask Lynn, everyone. And this morning, by the time that you guys hear this, it will be Tuesday morning, or depending on when you guys listen to it. But this morning, I have Katie Furr with me, and Katie is from Ulysses Life. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask her three questions, and then I'm going to let her interview me about my money story so you guys get the woman's perspective of my money story, and then you got the man's perspective, because where I found Katie was on the Stacking Benjamins podcast run by Joe Dolcihi, who came on this podcast and interviewed me as well about my money story. And that being said, on his podcast today, he answers one of my questions, which I'm not going to tell you what it is. You guys have to go listen to his episode today to find out the answer. And of course, I haven't listened to it yet either, so I'm curious to see what he says about my question. And so without further ado, I'm going to Miss Katie, take it away.
Hi, Lynn. My name is Katie Brewer. I'm a certified financial planner, which means that I work with a lot of people, essentially kind of helping them with, you know, money issues or money questions. And so, yeah, I know Joe because I've been on his podcast a few times, and he was a financial advisor for years and years and years, and he's kind of in the same area of Texas as me, a couple hours away. Yeah, a little bit about me.
Yeah. So, okay, how did you start your riches life? Did you, were you in the corporate world doing this financial stuff and saying, done, or did something else happen that made you want to run your own company?
Yeah, so I've been in financial services for, I'm losing track now, it's like 13 years, 14 years. But what I've kind of noticed over the years is that a lot of companies either are selling a product to people, so for example, like life insurance or a mutual fund or something like that, or the fee-only financial advisors or fee-only financial planners that do, you know, kind of more like a CPA or an attorney would do, where they're a consultant. A lot of them only wanted to work with people that had $1 million or more of money sitting around.
Yeah.
You know, so my observations, yeah, that already had money, that had already made it. So my observation was that there weren't a whole lot of, you know, financial planners that wanted to work with somebody on a consultation basis or, you know, kind of as their advocate that were focused on people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And I thought that's a darn shame because there are a lot of people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who would really like to work with a financial planner. They don't think they have enough money, but they're willing to pay for it, and they appreciate the help. And so that's why I started my own financial planning firm 3.5 years ago, was to be able to work with those people the way that they wanted to work with a financial planner.
So it's not your grandfather's financial planning anymore. You're targeting the next generation and millennials and the people leaving college.
Yeah, so I work a lot with, you know, singles or couples that are working right now. So, I mean, like, yeah, they might be concerned about retirement, but usually that's on a list of, like, 10 other things that they're trying to juggle at the same time.
Well, so, Katie, I want to ask you, what has been your success story within your company?
I think just the fact that I'm not a natural entrepreneur at all. Like, I always laugh that I'm somebody who started my own company, but I have, like, you know, zero desire to take a bunch of risk. So it was actually really hard for me to wrap my head around, you know, not being at a place that was going to pay me a salary with benefits and all of that. But, you know, I felt like it was kind of larger than myself and that I wanted to give it a try and start off with my own company. So I would say for me personally, I feel like it's not my personality to just go start companies. I'm really kind of a very conservative person. But I'm excited that I did it because it seems to be working. It seems to be going great. And I kind of got out of my comfort zone and, you know, I figured I'd ask my clients to get out of their comfort zone all the time because a lot of them feel very uncomfortable talking about money. And so, you know, I figured I could do the same thing, get out of my comfort zone and start my own firm.
And what is your favorite book? It doesn't have to be a financial book, although it could be. It just has to be a book that you go back to time and time again.
Yeah. So actually, Farnoosh Torabi, I don't know if you've run into her or talked to her before, but she actually has a few books, but I've got the original one. It's called When She Makes More. So it is a financial book. But it's essentially about the dynamic of, you know, like if you're in a couple and the woman makes more than the man. And it's from her perspective because that's been her experience. But I thought it was so interesting both from a financial perspective but also from, you know, kind of the societal pressures sometimes that are put on men and put on women. And, you know, kind of the what people have to deal with if they aren't, like, in traditional roles where the guy's making more and the woman is making less. So that's a book that I recommend to a lot of people. It's called When She Makes More, and it's by Farnoosh Torabi.
And she also has a podcast called So Money, and I am hoping, I did email her, and I'm hoping to bring her on the podcast as well. And so you guys need to go listen to So Money, too. I am so sorry that we're talking about financials this morning. I know you guys don't want to hear about financials, but it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
What? Everybody wants to hear about financials this morning. Doesn't everyone just roll out of bed and say, I want to think about financials?
Well, I have this devil's advocate here. No, everyone wants to think about financials, especially during tax season. Ugh. And no, we all want that refund so we can go spend it. Well, maybe that's just me. I don't know. But we all have to think about financials at some point, and me as a disabled person, I have to think about financials also. So now, because I have Katie on the podcast, and because you guys seem to love my money story, I don't know why, I'm going to let Katie put on her interview hat and interview me.
Yeah, and I'm excited to do that. So, you know, I always like to ask my clients this, but, like, what's one of your first money memories that you have?
My first money memory, I probably opened up a checking account when I was about 10, and I still use the same checking account. I'm like, oh, my God. Here we go with a unique, it's the only unique username I have because it's so old. My dad opened up a checking account for me when I was about 10, and started teaching me about money, and he gave me allowance, of course, yes and yes. And then, so that's my first financial memory, going to the bank, which I still use today, and opening a checking account. And believe it or not, he is still my co-signer on that checking account. Oh, my God. There goes all my secrets. And I'm like, I think it's time for me eventually to get my dad off my checking account. But anyway, but that's, I've had a checking account and a savings account since I was about 10.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, that's a great way for, that's a great way for parents to, you know, not just talk the talk, but actually walk the walk and, you know, give kids a hands-on experience with how to deal with money. So I think that's great that you did that.
Yeah.
What do you feel like has been, you know, what is like your biggest challenges over the last 5 years or so with money?
Because I am, because I am sending myself back to school again to get a journalism degree, I still have, like the rest of us, student loans, which one I have completely paid off already before it's due. The other one I'm working on paying off. But I think that's my biggest challenge of paying off those stupid student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and that's the biggest challenge of everyone.
Yeah, is kind of juggling the wanting to further your education with how the heck to pay for it or taking out the student loans to pay for it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, what the... What am I doing? I'm going from one crazy profession to another. I'm going from education, which doesn't pay as nearly as well as it should, to journalism, which pays a better paycheck, but still I have to pay off the student loans and be careful about that. And so, yeah, I am working on paying the student loans before they're due, so I don't have to deal with that.
And that's a really good point, Wynn, that, you know, it's best if you take out a student loan to kind of try to stay on top of that interest. So you're doing a great thing by essentially trying to, you know, start paying the interest even before anybody's telling you that you have to pay on the student loan.
Yeah.
That's good. So what would you say is kind of your biggest, like, money accomplishment over the last, like, 5 to 10 years?
Having 2 certificate of deposits and not dipping into them. I mean, they are growing steadily. I wish they were growing in rapid succession, but they're growing steadily because the last time I looked, they are making $1.50 or something ridiculous on that. But every single year, I'm making money on those 2 certificates of deposit.
So, like, actually being able to, like, stock some money away and then not touch it.
Yeah.
And then have that money be making money, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, sometimes there's a tendency to be like, hey, I've got some money and it's extra and maybe I should use it for whatever. So even just the, you know, setting your money aside and not touching it is actually something that, I would say is a pretty big accomplishment because it's hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yes, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. And granted, Katie deals with financials day in, day out. And for you to say it's hard to do, I'm like, oh, wait, now I don't feel so bad about not touching the certificates of deposit.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of times where it's tempting to go raid that money for, you know, stuff because you're like, well, you know, I do need this or I could use it for this. And so just kind of leaving it alone and adding to it over time is something that I always tell, especially women, we're kind of hard on ourselves sometimes. So I'm like, you got to give yourself credit, you know, for the things that you're doing. Because sometimes we tend to kind of beat ourselves up about the things that we're not doing.
Yeah, we do.
Is there anything else that you would want people to know about you and kind of your relationship with money and, you know, the good and the bad of, you know, what you've been doing over the years?
Well, the good and the bad of what I've been doing is even though I've had a bank account for over 10 years, I typically spend money. I'm not on a budget. I wish I could tell you I am on a budget, but I'm not. I should be. And yes, I'm declaring as of today, as soon as I get my degree, I'm going to get on a budget because I know a paycheck will be a higher paycheck than I'm making now would be coming in as soon as I get my journalism degree. So as of 2019, when I get my journalism degree, so I hope, I'm going to get more financially savvy, you guys. Because, I spend too much, and it's one of my pitfalls. Online shopping and publishing books are one of my pitfalls, although publishing books, you actually make a return on an investment, but online shopping, no! No, you don't make a return on an investment on that. And online shopping is one of my pitfalls. And no, I have a funny story. My credit card in 2010, I was going through the loss of my mom physically. She was diagnosed with a brain aneurysm, landed up dying from meningitis. And I swore to myself, because I was so going through this emotional turnover, that I would not buy frivolous things and do all that, because emotional shopping was retail therapy, was my emotional shopping at this time. Now, when I grew up with a mother that loved to shop and loved to do all that, and granted, my family founded Caterpillar Tractors in the Bahamas and in Canada. So basically, that's part of my money story too. And so I said to myself, okay, if you're going through this, the next time you visit your mom, you take your credit card down to Denver, stick it in your wallet, and hand it to your dad, and leave it down in Denver so you don't have access to it, and he'll give it back to you. Do you know that's what I did? And do you know that's what he did too? And I'm like, that was the smartest move I ever made. Because granted, she was in a hospital, and so I didn't have access to any of her financial information. I didn't have access to my financial information, so I saved myself from online shopping that month when I was going through emotional health.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because
if you don't have access to it,
you don't get to spend it.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of did the right step. So you realized that there was, you know, a problem. You realized that you were, like, really emotional, which you had every right to be. And then you realized that kind of your Achilles heel, to make yourself feel better could be online shopping. And so rather than, like, bury that, which some people do, you actually, like, yes, confronted it head on and went, okay, well, what would I have to do to head this off? And so your solution was to kind of, you know, get your family's help in holding you accountable. And so you kind of, like, removed that from the table and were able to head off, you know, kind of an emotional shopping spree, which is not unusual at all when there's a lot of people that do that, men and women, and it tends to be a little bit more on the women's side that we sometimes do that.
Yes. Yes. No, and that's what I did. So for those of you who are going through something emotionally big, not Texas doesn't count, by the way.
Yes.
For those of you who are going through something emotionally big, get your family involved. Get the credit card away from you. Thank you very much. Leave it with a family member. I left it with two family members. And leave it in a place where you know where it could be at the end. But I said to my family, look, this is what is going on here. And they were happy to hold my credit card for me, and they didn't charge me anything because they knew better. And so I said, look, this is my Achilles heel. This is how I'm going to deal with it.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I always tell my clients that I'm so not perfect, so I'm not going to sit there and pretend like I've got squeaky clean finances and that everybody else has, you know, not squeaky clean finances. Since we're talking about taxes, I realized a couple of years ago that as a financial planner, I help people a lot with their budgeting, with their retirement planning, with their investments, and with their tax planning. And that I was always putting my own taxes on the back burner because, you know, I was dealing with everybody else's tax season. So in order to head that off, because I was like, well, this is not going to work. I can't wait until April 14th or worse, you know, file an extension on my own taxes because I'm, quote, too busy dealing with everybody else's tax situation. So I hired a CPA a couple of years ago, which, you know, my husband's an engineer. He's very practical. He's like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. You have all the tax knowledge to take care of our taxes. And I'm like, see, but that's not the point. The point is it's not a priority for me to do our taxes because I'm so busy dealing with all of my clients' tax situations. And I needed the accountability of having another professional. So I hired a CPA starting 3 years ago. A lot of it is just so that they could be like, hey, we still need your documents. It's only a month out.
Yeah.
You need to get them to us.
Yeah.
And it's that accountability that helps me to, you know, take my stuff that I always put on the back burner and put it back up, you know, towards the front and actually get it taken care of and get it done.
No, I actually have a family member who, thank you very much, is a U.S. tax attorney. So if this comes to this, I can turn to her. And I also have friends that are CPAs and accountants. And if this comes to this, I can turn to them and make them be my accountability buddies. But that hasn't happened yet. But when I, when it does, and if it does, I will turn to them and make them be my accountability buddy. But when you have a W-2 staring you in the face, you probably want to fill that in on TurboTax or some other tax software. And because we're talking about taxes, for those who do it independently, just be careful. what you put in. I use TurboTax as my tax software, and they're dang good. Even though they don't sponsor this podcast, they're phenomenal. I've been using them since 2014, and no, my dad doesn't claim me as his dependent. I have to do my taxes on my own. He will help me at the end to make sure, but other than that, I'm doing my taxes on my own. But just be careful when you are doing your taxes to make sure that people are not spamming you or doing wonky stuff with your taxes, because there are a lot of great programs out there like TurboTax, and there are a lot of not-so-great programs. So I'm going to ask Katie, before we get off this call, what programs she recommends, the good ones and bad ones.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Wynn, that tax stuff is really only as good as the information that you put into the system. So if you, forgot to put in some interest, or, if you made some income on the side and you forgot to put it in, like, your tax software isn't going to know that. And it's the same thing with working with a CPA or an enrolled agent. Like, they're only going to know as much as you actually tell them. So I think you've got some really good points there. Like, be careful with what you put in. Like, make sure you've got all the information. Especially, it's a little bit harder these days because sometimes you get paper forms and sometimes you get online forms. So it's always a little bit easier to, like, make a list, make a brainstorm ahead of time of, like, what do you actually need to go collect first before you start doing the taxes. And then, as you're doing them, you can kind of work through all of the information. And then have somebody else double-check your work. So if that's a family member, or if that's, an enrolled agent or a CPA or something, like, having somebody else double-check is good, because that means that you won't have to come back and amend a tax return later, which is kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. And, I have, because math is not my strong point, you guys know this, my brain and math don't compute, we don't mix, and so I have my dad double check my work, even though TurboTax is how I do it, and now I'm in the state of Colorado. I file my federal taxes, and then I hand write my state taxes, which is easier, and I don't want to waste time on that. So I have my dad double check my work, and he's going to double check my work before I send it in, because God knows I might have screwed up. So it's easier if you have a family member or someone that you hire, a CPA, to double-check your work, and especially if that family member happens to be a U.S. tax attorney or happens to know the tax laws, you're majorly lucky.
Yeah, I know, right? Why don't I have a tax attorney in my family? I'm kind of jealous.
I happen to have one. Even though I don't use her necessarily for my taxes, but if work came to work, I would pick up that phone and say, help, help, because she knows math is not my strong point, too. So all I want you guys to do as you file this taxes this week, because April 15th is on a weekend, so they're due the 18th. They gave us an extension. And so the IRS says, and so just be careful. And those of you with disabilities, make sure you have your family members checking over because, yeah, and I know you have to pay a fee before you print your taxes, but it's easier to print your taxes. Or my dad trusts me so much, he goes, just go ahead and file them, and I'll help you with your Colorado tax return. So I know that's what I'm going to do. And usually, if you use a payment system like Paylocity or one of those other systems, usually TurboTax, I know with TurboTax is hooked up to your W-2, so all you have to do is enter in the main number, and then they'll enter in the list, which helps make the computer do the math. So just be careful, you guys, when you do your taxes. Those of you who are doing your taxes, just be careful. And TurboTax has agents, I know they do, at the other end, and they'll guide you through. But always look for a high-quality CPA, or if you're lucky enough to have a U.S. tax attorney or really good skilled family member, use them and don't feel bad about using them. And so, Katie, what would be your final advice on this interview?
I mean, I think, you know, final advice would be give yourself credit for the things that you're doing well on your finances, even if it's really small and even if it feels really stupid to do that, because a lot of times that gives you the courage to be able to address other parts of your finance. So sometimes there's such like a shame around money that it's hard to even get started on it because it's an emotional topic. So I think when you gave great examples of ways that you've kind of been proactive with money and, you know, recognized what you're strong at and what maybe you're not as strong at and gotten help with the things that you're not as strong with from friends or family members or a professional. So I think that would be my final review is, you know, I always love kind of talking about the softer side of money, which is kind of the, you know, the emotional parts of it and how to work with yourself, not against yourself when it comes to your financial life.
Yeah, I love it. Work with yourself, not against yourself when it comes to your financial life. And you, just one more tip, you guys, you can actually find your state tax forms, just Google them. I'm in Colorado, as I said, Katie's in Texas, but these Google can help you find your tax forms if you don't want to do it online. They cannot help you find the federal stuff, but if you want to fill it out by hand and trust the mail system, you can just Google your state and tax forms. And it will be the first, 2017 will be the first form that pops up. And then 2016, they go in chronological order. And now, where can people find you, Katie? And, of course, we'll have all your information in the show notes, and then we will. And then, do you ever work with people with disabilities on their money questions as well?
Yeah, so you can find me online at yourrichestlifeplanning.com. So yourrichestlifeplanning.com. If you don't want to type all that in, you can actually just type in yrlplanning.com and it goes to the same place because, you know, I knew people didn't want to type in 40 characters every single time. and, you know, I'm always happy to talk to anybody as far as, like, what their financial situation is. One of the things that I, you know, kind of committed to whenever I started my firm was that even if somebody is not a great fit for my services, I always want to make sure that they find the right place to start, whether that is an online system whether that's credit counseling, whether that's working with a different financial planner. So I always welcome anybody to, you know, contact me if you need help, like, figuring out where to start. And then you can always, you know, read through. I have a lot of articles on my website, yourrichestlifeplanning.com/blog, that are great for, like, a starting point on different topics.
You guys, we got to start somewhere with finances, and I wish that money wasn't a taboo subject. I am super lucky that I have, I can hold a job. I also have the financial means to meet my life. I have a trust coming up, which kicks in pretty soon here. I have yet to update on that. But we've got to start somewhere with financials, even if it's saving $20 in a savings account. We've got to start somewhere. So let's do it today. And let's make this happen either with Katie or one of your favorite CPAs to help you figure out your financials, because once you get your financials figured out, you will have your life be on a happier track. If you don't have your financials figured out, you're not going anywhere. So that's my final advice, and I appreciate Katie's time this morning. We'll have all her information in the show notes so you guys can click on it and find it. And go, after you go listen to this podcast, go listen to Stacking Benjamin, which is Joe's podcast, and also go listen to Show Money, which is Fanoush's podcast. They're both phenomenal podcasts, and as I said, I'm hoping to bring Fanoush on the podcast to have a decent conversation about money and possibly get more in detail with my money story. But I appreciate Katie interviewing me and sharing her history a little bit. And I hope you guys enjoyed the interview as well. And you can always contact me with feedback and tell me what you don't like and tell me what you do like. And please share this episode out so we can make the Ask Win community even stronger. Thanks to you guys. Bye.